President Trump's pick to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs has withdrawn his nomination. Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, who currently serves as the White House physician, cited the distraction caused by what he called completely false and fabricated allegations. Those include allegations of drinking on the job, poor management, and overprescribing of medications. The White House said Jackson would remain in his current role, and this morning on Fox News, President Trump was asked whether he's got someone else in mind to run the VA.
I do, actually, but I better not give it. Maybe we'll do it on my next call. I do. I think we're going to have somebody great.
All right.
Somebody that's more, you know, look, the Admiral is not a politician, which is what I liked.
Trump went on to say that the person he has in mind is somebody with political capability. No matter who ends up running the department, they'll face a lot of difficult challenges. Emily Wax Thibodeau is a national reporter covering veterans and the Department of Veterans Affairs for The Washington Post. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, you wrote about a lot of challenges facing whoever is going to be the next director of the Veterans Affairs Department. I want to look at some of those. One you write about is staffing. I had no idea, actually, Veterans Affairs is short-staffed, you write, at all levels. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Experts that I speak to every day, veterans themselves, say that everywhere from the very top all the way to janitorial staff, are missing. They're looking for especially critical positions in mental health. PTSD sufferers need to see therapists, and so they're having an effort to hire them, but it's difficult. The private sector pays more, and often veterans have very specific needs, having been through combat, that therapists want to make sure they're prepared for and helpful with.
And I saw a number, something like 30,000 positions unstaffed, basically, throughout Veterans Affairs. That's a huge number.
That's right. And every bureaucracy has staffing issues, and there is a lot of turnover, largely because people will come and serve veterans, perhaps need more money for personal reasons, and go to the private sector and make four or five times that amount. Also because they get frustrated. There's therapists who speak about, you know, seeing 14, 15 people a day. It's just an overload of work. So there's a real need to get the hiring system in place. There's also some issues with the human resources department itself, that's also understaffed. So the people to do the hiring need to be hired.
And this isn't a problem, I imagine, that just happened overnight or in the last year. A staffing shortage that substantial must have taken time to develop, right?
I think it's gone back and forth because it's such a large agency and employs, you know, 350, almost half a million, more than half a million people, 100,000 people. It's been an issue for a long time. There was a hiring freeze in the government. It was lifted for veterans for positions such as doctors. However, the people who were hiring the doctors, they were on a hiring freeze. That caused a backlog.
And another problem that's been in the news, and really the problem that made the VA a focus, a lot of national attention, was the wait time for service members, for veterans seeking various kinds of health care. That emerged, what, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. And I guess that's got to be connected to that shortage in staffing. What do we know about getting veterans speedy care? What's happening these days?
In 2014, the wait times scandal was revealed. Veterans were waiting very long for care, but people in the system, office managers and others, were fudging the data and saying they were getting care more quickly. That led to the resignation of Eric Shinseki, and has sort of been a new era for the VA. The VA was beloved, was seen as a success story. It educated an entire generation of World War II veterans through the GI Bill, bringing them into the middle class. There were still many veterans who praised the VA's groundbreaking work in amputations, in rehab, in spinal reconstruction, yet it's very difficult to get an appointment. That's why at the crux of some of this issue going on today is outsourcing care at taxpayer expense. It doesn't mean privatizing the VA. It means taxpayers will pay for a veteran to go to GW hospital or your private facility. That's a big controversial plan. A lot of veterans groups want to see the VA emboldened, the VA improve, the VA spend time hiring, and not send people, not line private corporations with money. It's also very expensive. It constantly runs out of money, the CHOICE program, and senators have to raise more funds, find, move money around, and the veteran secretaries are always going back to Congress to ask for more money.
And this is an issue that people have pointed toward in why President Trump's first appointee as director of the VA was fired, because of differing attitudes over that outside the VA CHOICE healthcare, right?
Exactly. Dr. Shulkin didn't want to go as far as some conservative forces within the administration in outsourcing care. He did want a hybrid system where if there's long wait times, you can go outside the VA and be reimbursed at taxpayer expense, but he did not want too much of that because that means resources that should be spent inside the VA, which a lot of veterans view as a special place that understands their particular needs. Another argument that was out there was that you can't just send 9 million veterans into the private system. The private system itself has long wait times.
And another concern, and you were touching on this earlier, is that maybe people in that private system, a doctor, other healthcare provider, isn't ready to meet the particular needs of veterans. That's something that you write some veterans groups are concerned about.
Exactly. I think Time Magazine did a story recently about a doctor who was doing at the VA who was doing groundbreaking work in concussions from IED bomb blasts. So there's very specific needs: traumatic brain injury, PTSD, military sexual trauma with women veterans that may not really be nuanced care outside the system.
Talking to Emily Wax Thibodeau from The Washington Post about the Department of Veterans Affairs and the challenges facing whoever ends up leading it. There's a quote, I think it was Senator Lindsey Graham saying, evaluating Ronnie Jackson, saying, hey, this isn't a job for management. This is a job for attitude. We need somebody with the right attitude to come in and change things. At the same time, this is a huge managerial task to run this huge agency. Is there something to be said for somebody with a different attitude being able to shake things up there?
I think you need, and I was speaking to some experts on how to manage government who study this, from what they were saying, there needs to be someone who can hire the right people. This is a job no human being could do. It is in charge of cemeteries, the GI Bill, home loans, a hospital system, which is one of the largest in the world. There's no one person who can do all that. The person needs to inspire and hire the right people. Then that will trickle down. That is the hope.
That said, and on top of that list you just gave, this person also has to go to Congress and negotiate issues like outsourcing of medical care and has to deal with White House politics. Is it just that the resume, this job list, is too long to find the right person, and that's why we can't point toward a lot of success stories in recent years?
It's a very hard job. People say it's one of the hardest in the government. One issue that comes up a lot is the politics. You have to go to Congress to ask them to fund caregiver acts, GI bills. Every time there's a new need, then money needs to be appropriated. So that's a huge part of your job, never mind all the people you have to inspire, the benefits claims, the disability rankings. It is a massive undertaking. And some of the top jobs at the VA are currently acting jobs or haven't been replaced yet.
Does that uncertainty at the top, some of those top-ranked jobs, and, of course, the big boss, now one is gone, one just stepped back as a nominee, does that kind of uncertainty make veterans worried, make potential employees of the VA worried?
There's a lot of career professionals who say the hospital doors are still open, the vet centers are still running. People who need rehab are getting their services. This is politics, and then there's what's going on the ground. all of this politics, what is it about? Well, it's about the people you send to war. When they come home, what do they get or not get? And I think that's, you know, that's something Americans care about. If you're a veteran who's suffering from PTSD and you have a therapist and you have appointments, you're going to them. So they feel like things are still moving. It's not paralyzed, but there's definitely a sense of confusion and disappointment in what's been going on.
And are there any thoughts now of the type of person that might be sought out as the next head of the VA?
It's not clear at all yet, so I couldn't answer that question with any authority. There are names being bounced around, but no one is sure if they're accurate yet.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure.
Emily Wax Thibodeau is a national reporter covering veterans and the Department of Veterans Affairs for The Washington Post. We talked with her about a recent story titled, "Here Are Five Urgent Problems a New VA Secretary Would Need to Tackle."